And I guess it's my turn. For those of you who don't know me, I'm James. And like he said, as far as pastor's kid goes, I was raised in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And how many are familiar with the faith movement? Kenneth Copeland, Joel Osteen. Okay, well, I knew all those guys. My grandparents, not so much Joel Osteen, but the guys who were real big back in the 90s, my grandparents were the children's pastors at the church I went to, and it was like 10,000 members back then. And now it's like 15. And but anyway, so they were the children's pastors, the head children, and my stepdad was the assistant children's pastor. So I grew up in this tiny little bubble of people like Kenneth Copeland and even like Oral Roberts' son, Richard Roberts. We used to hold our church services in their basketball stadium, the Oral Roberts University. That's where we had church. And so I grew up with a very certain point of view on Christianity and on faith. And what Pastor Tim was asking David, that's exactly, I was the exact opposite. I started to see things and hear things that I just, that didn't make any sense. And I have a really, God has blessed me with a really analytical mind, which is why I love Pastor Tim so much, because there aren't too many preachers around here who really get as deep as he does. But you guys are blessed here. And but anyway, so, you know, it was mind-boggling to me how everything that I was seeing and everything that I was hearing and everything like that was like who love was, you know, who God really was. As I got older, my biological father moved up here when I was really young. My parents got divorced, and then my mom married my stepdad, who was the assistant children's pastor. Anyway, when I was 12 years old, I decided to move up here with my dad, who was not religious in any way, and just experience life. Because as a kid, I saw, okay, there's all this fun stuff over here that we're not allowed to do because we believe in this over here, and we have to abide by rules and regulations, and you can't do this and you can't do that. I mean, I had my Ninja Turtles taken away because ninjas worshipped the devil back in the day. So, like, it was like that. And so from a kid's point of view, man, that's just crazy. And so when I was 12, I moved up here, and I've always been a musician. I've always sung. I've always been on stage. Ever since I was about this tall, I was up on stage watching my stepdad lead worship at that big church, and I've been on stage ever since. So I've always been a big fan of music, but when I moved up here and my dad started throwing me Hendrix CDs, Jim Moore, Doors CDs, The Best of the Who, Zeppelin, Four, what? No, nobody? Okay, anyway. Okay, Tim, okay. Anyway, I was in heaven. I was like, oh my God, this is what I've been looking for as a musician. How come Christian music, how come nobody's showing off? How come nobody's soloing and nobody's like really good? They're just kind of okay. And like, so what did all these musicians do? Drugs, alcohol, and lots of sex. So I figured I wanted to follow in their footsteps. And for me, it wasn't so much like I knew God was up there, I knew all this. I was like starting to find a whole different way of thinking. Like I discovered Marilyn Manson in 1996, and he's a complete anarchist. A lot of people think that he's like a Satanist or whatever, but a true Anton LaVey Satanist doesn't believe in anything. They believe that you are your own God and you make your own way, and that's it. Do whatever makes you feel good, and there's nothing else to live for. And that's what an actual Satanist believes, and at least Anton LaVey's version of it. So anyway, you know, that really appealed to me because it was really hard for me to fathom a creator of an entire universe that loves me for who I am. Like, it didn't make any sense. And it doesn't. It still doesn't. But I believe it now. But anyway, you know, for me, the marijuana and the drugs and the music and stuff, all that kind of stuff was kind of like together. And I just wanted to be on stage, and I just wanted to do what those guys did. And it was a crazy situation. I used to go to Christmas, you know, with my grandparents who had started their own ministry by then and had left Victory. And I used to argue until I was blue in the face. How could a Christian who believes everything that the Bible says support George Bush? I want to know. Because, yeah, gay marriage might be wrong, but so is dropping bombs on elementary schools in other countries. And I was just, like, really confused. I was confused about everything. And so when I was 17, 18, the same thing happened to me. I got a band. We played all over the place. We were called Minos Conway. We Philly, Baltimore, D.C., and we played at the beach all the time. And basically, I had a girlfriend, I had a job, I had everything that a person could want, and but I was still kind of just doing my own thing. And like the rest of these guys, I discovered prescription painkillers, and it only took about like 9 months for my whole life to just spiral down the toilet. I lost my house, my job, my instruments, my girlfriend, everything that I wanted, my band, everything. And it was just a disaster. And for a little while, I was house to house, living out of my van, just working enough, working all day long so I could get like one pill at the end of the day so I wouldn't be dope sick. And so it got crazy. And I ended up living with a guy who sold pills out of his house, and he kept a large amount of money in a lockbox in his house. And he was also a disabled war veteran who got a pension check. So I ended up stealing all of his money, and the cops didn't seem to care that he sold pills out of his house. He was a disabled war veteran that I stole from. So you know, I argued, well, it was drug money, and he's like, whatever. And so anyway, it was like almost $15,000 in cash. And so when the cops finally got me, I told him everything. I was tired. I was sick and tired of running and running and running, and I just wanted help. And I was like, I did everything, like, I just want to get out of this lifestyle. And so I got locked up. And I was in jail for 6 months, and then I did like 14 months in work release where I got a job and was able to make money, but I was still in work release, and I started to get high in work release. And while I was in jail, I was reading my Bible, I was praying, and then once I got the opportunity to really live it out, I didn't. So I got out of jail, I was on probation, it only took about a month for me to violate. I got sent up to a state program called Gaudenzia. I did 6 months in Gaudenzia, learning about my higher power and about the 12 steps. And I got out, and I stayed up in Wilmington for 2.5 months. And it only took that long for me to relapse again. This time I OD'd, and I woke up in the hospital. And so my probation officer locked me up. And this whole time, I'm toying with the idea of God now. I'm like, okay, I believe that he's up there, but believing that he sent his son to die for me is a totally different, you know, because people can ask if you believe in God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But to actually believe in your heart that, like, he came from heaven to die was just, I just still couldn't wrap my head around it. So I'm making God up who I want him to be this whole time. And, you know, I got sentenced to the CREST program, which is a state-run program in prison. I did that whole program, and something I forgot to mention was that in my couple years of like pill and heroin use, my dad, not the one who did prison, but the one that I lived up here with, ended up getting on heroin as well. So me and him were driving to Philadelphia together and getting dope, and then driving back down and like shooting up in the van together and stuff. So it was a really crazy, crazy time in my life. So when I was locked up, he ended up getting clean, and he was going to meetings, and he was living in a recovery house and everything, and I was really proud of him. But when I was in the CREST, I had heard that he had liver cancer, and the doctors were giving him about 6 months to live. So I couldn't get out. I was locked up, and I really wanted to be there for my dad for his last 6 months. And when I got down to the work release part of the CREST, they split it up two ways. I was there for 3 days, and they called me down to the duty office and told me that, you know, I needed to call my mom, and she had told me that my dad passed. Instead of turning to God like I knew I should have, I ended up using again. And I got away with it like one time. And then the next time I did it at work, I came back to work release and they gave me a urine test and I failed. And I had like 3 days left and I was going to get out. And I failed a urine test and they threw me right back across the fence. And I was, this revolving door thing that everyone was talking about that wasn't going to happen to me was happening to me. And so I just got really sick of it. And I really got hardcore about finding who God was, you know, to me. And I think that's when I really like broke and surrendered. And I got sent back up to the crest up in Smyrna, and a guy saw me praying and he saw me reading my Bible and he told me about Teen Challenge. And it's a miracle in itself how I even was able to get there. But I wrote my judge and I wrote Teen Challenge, and my judge actually transferred me. He changed my sentence completely to be able to complete Teen Challenge and then get off of probation. So, you know, I wrote my judge and everything, and I didn't hear anything back. So anyway, they tell me I'm going to Teen Challenge that morning. And I was really excited, and I got there. And so I get there, and I'm working on my relationship with God. And this is what really blew my mind. I was working with on my relationship with God, and I had joined the praise band after like a month and a half. And we were just going to different churches and stuff like that. And we went to a church about 6 months into the program. I was about 6 months in. We went to a church, and this lady came up to me after the service, and she was crying. And she was like, "You don't know who I am, but I'm Judge Stokes's legal secretary. And all of the paperwork of people requesting to get their sentences changed comes to my desk. And I get tons of them. Like, I get tons of them. Every inmate wants to change their sentence. So, like, I get tons of letters all the time. And I usually have a stack like this on my desk, and I don't know. I can only present like one, maybe two of them a month to the judge. I mean, he won't put up with any more than that. I lay my hand on the stack of papers and the Holy Spirit tells me which one to pull out. And yours was the one that I pulled out that month. And I was like, what? So that was it for me. That's all I needed to really know, you know, to know God and to get to really like learn how much he really does love me, and he loves each and every one of us. And but anyway, so fast forward, I graduated, I got married to my beautiful wife, and like David said, we're all working different jobs and we're still working at Teen Challenge, but we're writing music and talking to a producer in Atlanta who works with a serious record label in Nashville. So we're really excited about what God's doing, and he just continues to blow my socks off. So yeah, so that's my story in a nutshell, guys. Thank you for listening.